You got your Bible, I hope. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Should be pretty easy to find. Genesis 12, and let's see, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I did a message on the number 40, and then a few weeks before that, did one on number 6, so not exactly going in the order of numbers. 6, and then 40, and then tonight we're going to do 12. So I'm sorry that this is not in order, but this is just the way this has gone. So I think that the Lord always has a reason for the timing of things. So we shall see where this takes us this evening. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start there because this is going to lay some groundwork for the meaning of the number 12 in your Bible. So before I read, if you're not familiar with Bible numbers, you ought to be, because God doesn't just throw around numbers randomly. He purposely uses numbers, and numbers have meanings. Now, I can't tell you the meaning of every number in your Bible, but I'm going to tell you a few here that are very obvious. The number 1 in your Bible, 1 symbolizes unity. Number 2 would be the opposite of unity. What is the opposite of unity? Division. And number 3, you ought to know that one, the Godhead. Also, number 3 connected with resurrection power, because the Lord Jesus Christ, 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Number 4 is kind of a mysterious one, but number 4 is connected with the earth, and I would say specifically kingdoms upon the earth. Number 5, we actually covered this one in Bible study for just a few minutes yesterday. Remember that one? Anybody? Number 5 in your Bible. Anybody? Death. Yes, there we go, Don. Number 5 is death, and then a few weeks ago we were on number 6, which is the number of man. How about 7? You ought to know 7. When God gets to 7, He's finished with something. Completion for number 7. And then when you go to 8, if God's finished on 7, what's He doing on 8? Starting all over again. New beginnings. Number 9 is the number of fruit bearing in your Bible. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. And number 10, here we go to a certain group of people. Number 10, anybody want to guess on that one? A certain group. If you're not a Jew, what are you? A Gentile. Number 10 seems to be connected with Gentiles. Number 11. Here's what I put down on my notes. Question mark, question mark, question mark. I have not got that one figured out. I don't think you can nail that one down. Maybe somebody can. Let me know if you can. It's kind of a mysterious number. But number 12 is pretty obvious. Anybody know what number 12 is? It's another group of people. Miss Charlotte? It's the Jews, yes. Nation of Israel, number 12. So we are in Genesis chapter 12. And guess who is on the scene here, given some promises by God in chapter 12? It's Abram, later called Abraham. So let's read verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, here in chapter 12, God calls a man named Abram to a land. In that land, God said he would make of him a great nation. A couple of very important words there. Land. And not just any land, but the promised land, land of Canaan, and the word nation. And then you go on there, he says that he would bless Abram and make his name great. So you got a nation, you got a land, you got a name. And then finally there in verse 3, God said he will bless those that bless Abram, and he would curse those that curse Abram. And I think you can take that promise from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of, help me out, Israel, there we go. And you've got today, think about this. This is how the Bible is applicable to where we are right now. There is a certain piece of land that is the hottest piece of real estate in the world. You know what that land is? It's the land of Israel. Canaan land is modern day Israel. And they don't have all the land that God gave them, but they will one day when the Lord shows back up, right? And from that land, God took a group of people and made them a nation, put them in that land. And those people have had a great name throughout the years. They've also had a name that people have hated because God's blessed them. And I will tell you that this is my opinion, take it or leave it. I personally believe that the only reason America is still standing in 2020 has to do with our relationship with that nation. I think we would have been gone a long time ago had it not been for our, at this point in time, good relationship with that nation. And I'll try to bring that in towards the end of the message about some recent events here. Israel's important in your Bible. Israel's important today. Israel's important in the future. So we'll spend some time talking about number 12 in connection with Israel tonight. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the perfect words of Scripture you've given us. We heard about this morning how precious they are and how we are needful of them. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would put the light on the Scripture once again for us. Help us to glean truths that would see how we would all see how what amazing book you've given us, and also see how this book applies to things happening right now on this very date. And we pray that the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up and your word just be clearly heard and received tonight. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so let's go over to Genesis chapter 14. Now, I'm going to show you some things tonight that you can call it coincidence, but when you're in your Bible, I don't think anything is there on accident. I don't think it's coincidence. So here's one of those. I'll show you a couple of these tonight that are, to me, they're kind of mind-blowing. So in your Bible, there's a group of people called the Israelites. So you go Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob has how many sons? 12, and then Jacob gets his name changed to Israel. You with me on that? So we've got the Israelites. Can somebody give me another name in your Bible for that group of people? The Israelites are also called you nailed it. You said it. The Hebrews. And then there's another one. The Jews. That's three names for the same group of people. Israelite, Hebrew, Jew. Now watch this. What number are we talking about tonight? Number 12 in connection with Israel, the Hebrews, the Jews. So go to Genesis chapter 14. Look at verse 13. This is the first time in your Bible you find the word Hebrew. 14:13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew. He's the first Hebrew is called Abram. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. So what I thought was really interesting about this verse, it's the first verse in your Bible you have a mention of the Hebrew, a Hebrew, which is Abram. Now, here's what you want to do. We got to do a little counting tonight because this is some Bible math. I want you to count the words here. Here we go. And, I'm starting at the beginning of verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew. That's the 12th word in the verse. Isn't that cool? Hebrew, the first time it shows up in your Bible, it just happens to be the 12th word in the verse. I don't think that's accidental. I don't think that's kind of neat. Now, go to Genesis 35. Just so you understand a little history here about the descendants of Abraham. Go to Genesis 35. You've got Abraham. Abraham has two sons. He's got Ishmael and Isaac. The promise does not go to Ishmael because he's got an Egyptian mother. Promise goes to Isaac because he's the son of Abraham and Sarah. And then you take Isaac, he's got a couple sons. You remember their sons? The sons of Isaac? Jacob and Esau. Esau's the firstborn, but he doesn't get the promise. The secondborn gets the promise. Isn't that cool? In both cases, not Ishmael the firstborn, but Isaac. And then not Esau the firstborn, but Jacob. Notice the secondborn got the promise. Addie, you're the secondborn, aren't you? Yeah. There's something special about the secondborn. I'm just playing around with that. She is secondborn. But why would God give the blessing? There's a picture here. Why would God give the blessing to the second instead of the first? Help me out, folks. We had the verse this morning for memory. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born the second time again. Hey, were you blessed by being born the first time? Obviously, there's some blessing there. But you got a greater blessing when you were born the second time, weren't you? That gave you eternal life. So I think that's kind of cool. Now you got Isaac. And then Isaac has Jacob and Esau. And watch over here in Genesis 35. These are going to be the sons of Jacob. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Here are the 12 sons of Jacob. Go to Genesis 35. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land. That's not where I want to go. Let's go down there to... here we go. Yeah, verse 22. Let me keep reading there. Yep, that's right. Came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. And then you get this little part at the end. Now, the sons of Jacob were how many? Were 12. So if you don't know the 12 tribes of Israel, you ought to know. I mean, don't you have a Jewish heritage if you're saved? Isn't your Savior Jewish? Do you know what tribe he's from? He's from the tribe of Judah. You ought to know these tribes. So let's read them. Verse 23. The sons of Leah, there's four. Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. I'm sorry, there's six actually from Leah. Six. There's half of them. Verse 24. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. So there's two more. There's eight. Verse 25, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. There's two more. That makes 10. And verse 26, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him and paid an Aram. So how many we got? We got 12 sons. So just so you don't think I'm making that up. Those 12 sons become, the names of those 12 sons become the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is important because all through your Old Testament you'll have references to these tribes. So very important that you know those. Go over to Genesis 37 and show you something kind of interesting here. Over here in Genesis 37, you got we were here actually last Sunday night talking about Joseph. Joseph dreams a dream. And I want you to notice something real interesting about this dream. Look at verse 9, Genesis 37, 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the, how many stars? 11 stars made obeisance to me." Now, do you know who those stars in that verse represented? His 11 brothers. So Joseph is the one, and then the other 11 would be brothers. I think it's interesting. I want you to kind of put this in your back pocket. If we have time at the end, I'll put this together. The sons there of Jacob, the brothers of Joseph, are connected with those 11 what? Stars. I want you to remember that. Now, stars in your Bible and the Revelation, they're connected with angels. But over here in Genesis 37, they're connected with the sons of Jacob, those 11 brothers of Joseph. So kind of remember that. We'll come back to that later. All right, go to Exodus chapter 15. Here's something interesting. Actually, go to Exodus 12 first off. Exodus 12. I'm taking in order here, so you shouldn't have to turn back to the left in your Bible. I'll take you in order the best I can here. And as the old preacher used to say, we'll go from generation to revolution. Or Genesis to Revelation at the end here. And look at Exodus 12, and I'm not going to read this chapter, but do y'all know the significance of this chapter? This is a chapter you ought to know a little bit about. This is the chapter where Israel gets out of Egypt. This is the chapter all about the Passover. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the very chapter number in your Bible where Israel gets out, and the way that they get out just happens to be what number, everybody? Number 12. Actually, you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of this. Chapter 12, verse 12 really lays it out for you. Look at it. 12:12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And that's what happened at the Passover. Remember, the blood had to be on the doorpost, and the Lord passed over the houses of all those that had the blood on the doorpost. So there's something about Exodus 12, and that number 12 being connected with the Passover and Israel. Go over to Exodus 15. Now, here's a pretty neat one. Exodus 15. There's no numbers that are just randomly inserted into your Bible. They're on purpose. So watch this one. Exodus 15, this is when they're out of Egypt and they're going through the wilderness. And over here in 15, look at verse 23. Look what kind of problem they got. Exodus 15, 23. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah." So, just like you and I would never do this, but just like these Israelites to do what they did. They don't have something to drink in verse 23, so what do they do in verse 24? Now, we would never do this, but they did. What do? They murmured. And just like us, aren't they? I'm being sarcastic when I was saying that we're not like them. We're there. We are exactly like these people. So they murmur. And, you know, just like the Lord's done for me, and I'm sure He's done for you, you do a little complaining, but then you ask the Lord for some help, and He performs something incredible for you, a miracle. And that's what He does here. So they cast this tree into the water, and the tree makes the bitter water sweet. So then look down there at verse 27. After he does that, look at verse 27. And they came to Elim, where were, what's the number, everybody? 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. 12 wells of water, one for each of the tribes, huh? And I thought that was interesting that you've got in that verse 27 the number 12, and then what's the other number in that verse that you see? 70, 70. And you know what's neat? The Lord had 12 disciples. We'll get to them here a little bit later. You know what he had 70 of also? Another group of, you could call them disciples, that they're not named, but they're called in the Gospels, the 70. And they're kind of a secondary group, but they seem to be a group that followed the Lord fairly closely. So, interesting that number 12 and number 70 there. All right, go to Exodus 28. Take a look at this one. Number 12, connected with Israel over and over in your Bible. Exodus 28. Now, over in the Old Testament, you had the tabernacle set up here at the end of Exodus. And you had this high priest who had all these very interesting garments that he had to put on whenever he did the work inside the tabernacle. And each of those garments are of great significance. They're not just, again, random things. And if you look there at Exodus 28, go down there to verse 15. See something interesting. Actually, there's a couple different things in this chapter, but we'll look at this one. 15, and it says, this is talking about the garment that the high priest wore, this breastplate. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. And then he goes on there about verse 16, some more details there, and then go to 17. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row, so there's three. And the second row shall be an emerald, sapphire, and diamond. There's three more, that's six. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. There's nine so far total. And the fourth row, a beryl, onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. How many stones there, folks? That priest had three, 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 and three on his right on his chest there. That breastplate stood. A breastplate was worn. And notice verse 21. What is that for? And the stones shall be with the names of who? The children of Israel. How many? 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to, what is it? The 12 tribes. Again, folks, that number just over and over connected with the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel, that is, number 12. All right, go over to Leviticus. Here's another one that's kind of neat in connection with the tabernacle. Go to Leviticus 24, number 12, over and over connected with Israel. Leviticus 24, here's a neat one that's got actually a couple different applications here. You remember inside the tabernacle they had this piece of furniture called the table of showbread? And guess what they put on that table? You get one guess. Bread. And you know what that bread was for? For show. The table of showbread. I mean, really. So on that table, they had the bread laid out in a certain way. And this was, again, not on accident. This was purposeful. Look at 24. I'm in Leviticus 24, verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake how many cakes? 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. Okay? So how many cakes? 12. This tabernacle was specifically for what group of people? The Israelites. So you know that matches with the 12. One of those cakes for each of the 12 tribes. That makes sense. But notice something else here. Notice how they are laid out. The Holy Spirit of God put verse 6 there on purpose for us. They're laid out 6 on a row. So picture this. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A 6 here. A 6 here. What's 6 and 6? It's 12, obviously. But then how about the number? 66. Okay, now hold on a second. 66. Why is that an important number? Let's take a break from 12 for a minute. 66 just happens to be the number of books in your Bible. Now, how did you get your Bible? Over in Romans, it says, unto the Jews, the Israelites, were committed the oracles of God. You know who you have to thank, who you and I have to thank for the preservation of the Old Testament? You know who that is? That's the Jews, and actually a lot of the New Testament as well. And then the church kind of took over there, but the Jewish people, responsible, used by God to preserve God's word for us, so we have it today. So you got 6 and 6. And what is it that's 6 and 6? What are we talking about here again? It's bread, right? What do you know about bread in the Bible? In a King James Bible, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay, so you got the 6 and the 6. There's your books in your Bible, number of books in your Bible. You got the 6 plus 6 is 12. Who did God use to preserve those words? The Israelites. Isn't that something? Not coincidental right there. You follow me on that? That's pretty heavy stuff, but that's neat. All right, go to Joshua. We're going to skip a few books here. You thought I was going to go every book, didn't you? I was going to go all 66. We don't have time for that. But let's go to Joshua chapter 4. You could find something, I'm sure, on the number 12 connected with Israel in probably every book of the Bible. Go to Joshua chapter 4, particularly in your Old Testament. Joshua chapter 4. Let's see what we got over here in connection with number 12. This is the book of conquest. The Israelites get into the promised land. They cross the Jordan River. And something very interesting here about crossing the Jordan. Joshua 4, look at verse 5. Actually, go to verse 4. 4:4. Then Joshua called how many men? 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. So you got one man from each tribe represented there. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So how many stones are they going to get? If each man got a stone, that would be 12 total. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a... What's that next word, folks? The stones were to be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You mean they had monuments or memorials back then? You know why they had those? They had those to remind them of some great work of God that he had performed on their behalf in the past, and they didn't want it to be forgotten. Isn't that interesting? Why is there an effort today in our country to take away the memorials of our country? Why would they do such a thing? Maybe they want to try to make people forget where we came from. What do you think? These stones were set up so that those Israelites for generations to come would look at those stones and say, yep, God allowed us to cross over miraculously across that Jordan River one day, and that's how we ended up in this promised land. A reminder of something. So, pretty neat there. But there's 12 stones there for a memorial. All right, let's go over to, now here's one that's just fun. Go over to 1 Chronicles 25. I really don't know what to make of this one, other than it's not coincidental. I just think it's neat. So you can do what you want with this one. 1 Chronicles 25. This is a wild one. 1 Chronicles 25. Just like the Lord to throw something just really interesting in the midst of a book that a lot of people think is boring because there's just a lot of lists in it, you know? 1 Chronicles is like that. And this chapter is actually just a lot of lists. But I'll tell you what, there's something really neat here. In this chapter, 1 Chronicles 25, you have David organizing the musicians of Israel. And you better believe David was an organizer. He did things with structure and order. That's the way the Lord does things. That's the way we ought to do things. And if you look down there, beginning in, look at verse 8. And they cast lots, ward against ward, as well the small as the great, the teacher as the scholar. And then we get a list of all the different lots. Now, the first lot came forth for Asaph to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, who with his brethren and sons were 12. Now, I want you to take a look at something. Starting in verse 10, all the way down to verse 31, what is the last word in every verse? It's 12. You see that? And then notice verse 31, how many different orders of musicians were there in this chapter? 24. You see that? Verse 31, the 4 and 20th to Romantizer. So you've got 24 is a multiple of 12, isn't it? See, you thought all that stuff you learned back in algebra was useless. But actually, when you remember it here in connection with your Bible, you put some things together. Now, here's what will just knock your socks off that I don't have any explanation for other than to say, this is God's book. You heard about that this morning, right? You ready for this? Starting in verse 10, going all the way down to verse 27, 18 verses in a row. Look at verse 10, and you can check this. We'll just look at verse 10 and 11, but from 10 all the way to 27, you have something in common. I'm going to read verse 10, and I'll count on my fingers the words here, all right? Verse 10, the third to Zachar, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. Guess what number in the verse the number 12 is? It's the 12th word in the verse. That's the case in verse 10, 11, 12, 13, all the way down to verse 27. The word 12 just happens to be the 12th word in every one of those verses. Isn't that wild? Now you say, how come it's only in 18 of those verses and not 24 of the verses? That's a great question. I don't know. But okay, let's do some math here again. 24, 12, and then 18 verses have the 12th word as 12. So how about 24, 18, and 12? Do they have a common number there? What number divides into 12, 18, and 24? Come on, Miley and Addie, you guys know this. Number 6. So you've got these derivatives of 6. And guess what? This is a list of here in chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles. 6 just happens to be the number of what? Of man. And what do you got a list of right here in chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles? A list of men. So I think that's... See, you can tell your algebra teacher, thank you. You opened up some things in the Bible for me. That's no coincidence. I show you this, folks, to show you that God is a God of order and structure, and things are not on accident in the Bible. They are on purpose. You think things might be on purpose in your life, too? What do you think? I think so. All right, I think that was neat. 1 Chronicles. Go to Luke chapter 2. We'll go to the New Testament here for the last few. Luke chapter 2. A lot we could chase here in the New Testament, but I'm just going to focus on a handful here. Go to Luke chapter 2. Now, you know what you don't have in your Bible? You've got, I'll tell you what you do have. You do have a record of the birth of Jesus Christ. And you have a record of Jesus Christ from age 30 to 33. His ministry. You got a lot of details about the ministry years, right? You know what you don't have? From the time he's born up until 30, you got almost nothing. I said almost because there is something. You've got an account of the Lord Jesus Christ at, you want to guess the age? How did you know? Yes. Of all the things for the Lord to tell us about the childhood of Jesus Christ, he picked out when he's 12 years old. There's a lot to this. I'll try to mention a couple things, but I think it's kind of neat that it just happens to be number 12 and the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, an Israelite. Look down there at verse 40. Look at Luke 2:40. And the child grew, speaking of Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Look at 42. And when he was how old? 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Now watch what they find him doing here in verse 46. You tell me the last time you saw a 12-year-old doing what's happened in verse 46. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him. Isn't that interesting? Notice that wording right there. After how many days did they find him? After 3 days. You know, people thought Jesus was gone. For how many days? After he was crucified and buried. 3 days. And then he was found. He was seen. So it says there, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Look what the Lord was doing there at 12 years old. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Isn't that something right there? You know what a 12-year-old ought to have the ability to do? A 12-year-old ought to be able to have an intellectual thought. And hear and ask questions, and have a conversation with somebody older. You take a 5-year-old, that's going to be rough, isn't it? You take an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old. when a child gets to 12, they ought to have some intellectual ability. Now, what America has done is the education system has, for lack of a better term, they've dumbed children down so that they really don't get to where they should be until they're about 18, maybe, if they're lucky. And the way that God set this up, I really believe at 12 years old, a child ought to have some intellectual ability to be able to exchange with an adult and think on a little higher level. What do you think? Sherry can tell you, she teaches 12-year-olds, sixth graders. It is a daily challenge for her to get those 12-year-olds to think beyond the surface of anything. And then you get into the Bible, and she'll tell you she spent 6 weeks now just training them to find the place in the Bible where she says, and then look at what the Bible says and read along. And I'm telling you, it's really a task, but that's nothing more important than that, is there? Learning how to read is one thing. Learning how to read the Bible and stay with the Bible when it's being read and follow along is another thing. So, interesting that of all the times that the Lord could have told us about the childhood of Jesus Christ, He chose the age 12. And what happened? At age 12, that marked the end of something for a Jewish boy, didn't it? Because what happened at age 13? Now you're going to become a man. You're going to follow Dad around. You're going to learn a trade from Dad. So 12 marked the end of something there. So I think that's pretty neat there that of all the things there, that's number age 12 for the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have something recorded about Him. All right, go over to chapter 6. Now, this will be an easy one. Luke chapter 6. This will be an easy one. You knew this was coming sooner or later. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 12. Luke 6, 12. And it came to pass in those days that He went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose how many? 12, whom also He named apostles. And I won't take the time to read the list there, but 14 through 16, you get the names of all the apostles. So there again, how many? 12. And each of these apostles had some kind of background, and it was for each one of them, what was it? What was their heritage, each one of them? Help me out, folks. A Jewish background. All right, yes. Each one of those apostles had a connection there. All right, go to Luke 22. How about something about these apostles, these 12? Luke 22. Look what the Lord said they would do one day, and it has not happened yet, but it will. Luke 22. Again, number 12, if you haven't got the message so far. Number 12, just repeatedly connected with Israel. Luke 22. Go down there to verse 24, and look what the Lord tells these disciples. Actually, I'll tell you what, go down there. 24 to 28 are great, just talking about what greatness is in the sight of God. Greatness is in being a servant. But just save time there. Go on down there to verse 29. I'm in Luke 22. Look at verse 29. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the what? 12 tribes of Israel. So you got 12 apostles that will judge the 12 tribes of Israel from Israel. Does anybody know when this is going to happen? This will happen during the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. So if you were here for the Revelation study, we got over there to Revelation 5, and you got these 24 elders. And we speculated that. We don't know for sure, but we speculated. Could be 12 apostles, plus the 12 tribes, each of the sons of Jacob, what's 12 plus 12? 24. So it could be. I don't know if that's for certain, but a possibility, I would say. So there's the 12 tribes. Now go over it. Let's just wrap this thing up here. Not even 7 o'clock, and I'm saying wrap up. Revelation 7. Go to Revelation 7. Now, if you're here for the Bible study in Revelation here just, I think, a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we hit this, and I won't go into all the details here other than to show you this. This is really neat. In Revelation 7, now you're looking into the future when you get into Revelation 7. You're looking into the tribulation. And in the tribulation, does God have somebody to preach the truth? He sure does. Praise the Lord. Doesn't He always have at least one man to go and preach the truth? He's always at least got one. In the tribulation, He's going to have a bunch. Look at this. Revelation chapter 7, look at verse 2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So watch verse 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed and 40 and 4,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, before you keep reading here, let's do a little math. In verse 4, 144,000, right? You should know by now how many tribes are there. Okay, do your little division here. 144,000, draw your little division there, divide it by 12, what do you get? How many from each tribe? 12,000 from each tribe. Now, you want to check your math? You want to check your math? You don't need a calculator. You know what you need? Look at your Bible. Yeah. Look at it. Look at the next verse. I'll just read the next verse for time's sake. Verse 5. Of the tribe of Judah, we're sealed how many? 12,000. Tribe of Reuben, we're sealed how many? Tribe of Gad, we're sealed how many? Go on down the list. You got 12 tribes, and how many from each tribe? 12,000. 12,000 times 12. Remember your times tables? You never thought you were going to have to use 12 times 12. 12,000 times 12 is 144,000. And those 144,000 are going to be Jewish evangelists preaching during the tribulation. What a sight that'll be, huh? I mean, going all over the globe, 144,000 of them in the tribulation. You mean God's still got a plan for the Jews? Oh, yeah. Who better to reach a Jew than a Jew? Fella at the where Sherry and I teach, he has a Jewish ministry that he does on Friday nights down there. I saw him just the other day. This is a Jewish man. Got saved, I think it was maybe 18, 19 when he got saved, you remember? He's a New Yorker and unsaved growing up, got saved. And he leads Jewish people to the Lord left and right. So I saw him the other day. And I said, hey, man, how's it going? His name's Ron Newman. I said, hey, Ron, how's it going, man? He goes, oh, hallelujah. I just led a Jewish man to the Lord this week. So get this. He's got an office down in Cape Canaveral. And I can't remember what the name of the ministry is that he's got, that what the sign down there says. It doesn't say Jews for Jesus, but something along those lines. And he said, a fella saw the sign. There's a phone number on the sign. The fella called the phone number. He had a conversation with him. He met him and had lunch with him, and the guy got saved. Jewish man got saved. Who better to lead a Jew to the Lord than a Jew? Isn't that something? You know, Jews are still getting saved today. Amen? All right. So don't give up on those Jews. All right. Go to chapter 12 of all things. Revelation chapter 12. Watch what we got over here. Now, remember we saw that thing over in Genesis 37 about the stars and a connection with the sons of Jacob and stars. Watch this one. Look at Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of how many stars? 12 stars. Who might this woman be? Well, let's take a look here. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Uh-oh. Behold, a great red dragon. Watch out for that dragon. Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Watch verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, it certainly matches that this man-child was who? What do you think? I think there's a lot to match the Lord Jesus Christ, which, think about who that woman might be with 12 stars connected with her. Some people would say Mary, but I would say just the nation of Israel. And isn't it interesting that in verse 4, who goes after those stars? That great red dragon, the devil himself. You know who the greatest anti-Semite that ever lived is? It's the devil. And you better believe, folks, the pot is already being stirred. Anti-Semitism. I mean, it's been stirred for a long time, but the pot is stirring right now for hatred toward that group of people, the Jew. Folks, don't you go hate on the Jew. Genesis 12 stands from when it was spoken all the way to today. You bless the Jew, God will bless you. Sherry and I have seen that personally in our lives. You curse the Jew, you know what you got coming? You got a curse. Now, let's go over to Revelation 21. Let's get this last thing here, and then I'll try to make an application of some things going on in our world today here to wrap us up. Last verses in Revelation 21. Now, you know, this earth is a dump. I think this earth is just a dump. Anybody agree with on that? You get any amens? This place is a dump. This place is a trash heap. And you say, you're talking about my house. You're talking about all the nice things I have. Yeah, it's pretty worthless when it comes down to it, isn't it? There's a better place than this place. You know what that place is? Heaven. What you've got here in Revelation 21 is New Jerusalem. So let's read a little bit here. Go to verse 9, and I want you to watch the occurrences of our number that we're looking at. Number 12. Look at Revelation 21, 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, what verse are we about to read? Are you in verse 12? Watch verse 12. And had a wall, great and high, and had how many gates? Chapter 21, verse 12, we got 12 gates. And at the gates, how many angels? 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then watch this division here. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. So there's 3, 3, 3, 3. 3 times 4 is 12. Now look at verse 14. And the wall of the city had how many foundations? 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And folks, you go on and on here, and you'll see some more 12s. Go over there to verse 21. Actually, if you go to 20, the end of 20 tells you that there are all these stones, and at the end of 20, how many stones altogether? 12 stones again. We had 12 stones on the high priest's breastplate. We got 12 stones here in New Jerusalem. Foundations of the wall. Now look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were what? 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. You ever seen glass like that? Or you ever seen gold like that? The gold I've seen is not see-through. That is gold in its purest form with no corruption. And we're going to drive cars on that street? I don't know about that. I'll tell you what we will do. If you're saved, you know what you're going to do? You're going to walk on that street. Hallelujah. I can't even fathom. You're going to look down, it's going to be see-through. What's below that? You're going to see right through that thing. Transparent glass. But it's gold. Isn't that something right there? A lot we could say about that, but let's just kind of park on this thing number 12 here. I spent a lot of time here. Hopefully you understand that number 12, I hope I gave you enough verses for evidence here. That number 12 over and over and over is connected with, help me out here, Israel. Now, you say, what's the big deal about that? Folks, don't you forget about that little tiny nation over there in the Middle East. It's about the size of New Jersey. You know, Miss Judy's going to be back from New Jersey here at some point here in the next week. Ask her how big New Jersey is. You can drive through New Jersey in a short amount of time. It's not that big. It's a little tiny nation, yet it's surrounded by all these enemy nations, isn't it? And all those enemy nations certainly have a hatred for those people. Have you watched the news in the last 7 days? Do you know what happened? I think it was on Tuesday of this week. Something pretty earth-shaking. Our president at the White House has the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the leader of the United Arab Emirates, and I butcher his name, I can't remember, Mohammed's in his name, I remember that, I can't remember the rest of his name. But you've got these two fellas, now hold on, you've got an Israelite, and you got an Arab, and they're at the table with an American president, and what happened? We got a peace agreement. You mean, now hold on a second, you mean Israel is a big deal to our president? Apparently it is. I'm glad for that. Now, to make matters even more interesting, guess who engineered the whole deal? The son-in-law of our president, Jared Kushner, who just happens to be, are you ready for this? He happens to be a Jew. Folks, we're living in incredible times. I don't know what's going to come of this. People have already said, well, this is all connected with the Antichrist, and it could be. I don't know. But I find it interesting that our American president has an interest in what's going on over there and desires that there be peace in that region. I find that very interesting. And he wants the capital to be recognized as Jerusalem. Isn't that wild? So don't you forget about those Jews. Don't you forget about that nation. Folks, there's not a more important nation in your Bible than the one we talked about tonight, Israel. I know you think America's a great nation. I do too. I do too. There's a greater nation than America, though. Because I know there's one nation for certain that will be around in the millennium, and it's not America. I don't know about America. I know Israel will be around, though, and I know that will be the capital of planet Earth in the millennium, in that thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Folks, don't you forget about Israel. Hey, why you got time? Why you got time? We don't know how much time we got. You got opportunity to witness to a Jew. You ought to take advantage of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and salvation. And everyone that believeth, to who? The Jew first. The gospel went to the Jew first in the book of Acts, didn't it? God still wants Jews to get saved. If you don't know any Jews, pray for Jews to get saved. Sherry and I give you a list of people that we know that we pray for them to get saved. Don't you forget about that Jew. Folks, God's got a plan for that Jew. Now, here's the thing about it you want to remember. If the Jew doesn't get saved now, and the rapture happens this week, guess what? That Jew's going to be here during the worst time ever on planet Earth. And that Jew will fall for the antics of the Antichrist, which will probably have some Jewish connections himself, and will end up getting stabbed in the back by that Antichrist. Folks, God has not forgotten about that nation. God has not forgotten about those people. And I'll tell you, if there's ever a time for the Jews to get saved, how about now so they go up in the rapture and are not here for the tribulation? Those Jews that do go through the tribulation, there's going to be a remnant of those people that God's going to save. And can you imagine this? There's going to be a remnant of Jews at the end of the tribulation. They're going to be preserved by God. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to walk into the city of Jerusalem, and the wrong guy on the throne is going to get the boot. And the right guy, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to set up his throne and his kingdom. I get chills thinking about that. There's Jews going to walk out of the wilderness. They've been hiding, been taken care of by the Lord all that time. They're going to walk into Jerusalem, and they're going to fall at their feet and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that something, folks? Your Bible is all about the Jew in the Old Testament. You have a Bible. I have a Bible because of the Jews. Let's not forget about those people, folks. I know we spent a lot of time looking at some neat stuff here, but let's not forget about the Jewish people in these last days we live in, all right? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown us just, again, some great and mighty things out of your word. Just really mind-blowing to see how you put all these pieces together. I pray we'd be faithful to witness to Jew and Gentile alike. And, Lord, I pray, I know Sherry and I know, and I know folks in this church know Jewish people that right now would be on their way to hell if they died. And, Lord, I want to lift them up to you. I pray for our friends at camp. They're Lucas and Michael and Jim, the three guys we want to see saved. And, Lord, I pray for a revival here in our nation and Jewish people hear in the gospel and be saved. Lord, help us to remember that you have a plan for those people. And may we not be like a lot of folks today that's taken this position of the church replacing the nation of Israel. May we always be faithful to remember we are separate from that nation. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful here in these last days to do your work, your way. And Lord, thank you for just showing us some incredible truths tonight. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.